Well, I've chosen my, I think, probably favorite koan for my talk today, which is Everyday Mind is the True Way. I would guess nearly everyone is familiar with this one, but I'm just going to read through it. And then I'm going to really take it, piece by piece, because this koan is such a beautiful presentation of the journey of a contemplative training. It is so full of wisdom, and I've just it's so easy to just sort of take it in a simple-minded way, but and nothing wrong with simple-minded, but I'm just saying I love this. So here we go. Everyday mind is the true way. When he was a young man, Chaozhou asked Zen Master Nanchuan, "What is the true way?" Nanchuan said, "Everyday mind is the true way." Chaozhou asked, "Should I then try to keep it or not?" Nanchuan replied, "If you try to keep it, you have already made a mistake." Chaozhou was confused and questioned, "But if I don't try, how can I ever understand the true way?" Nanchuan then said, "The true way is not dependent on understanding or not understanding. Understanding is illusion. Not understanding is blankness. If you completely attain the true way of not thinking, it is like space, clear and void. So why do you make right and wrong way?" Upon hearing this, Chaozhou was suddenly enlightened. Quite an exchange. And my understanding is Chaozhou was maybe 17 when he first began training with Chaozhou. Oh, training with Nanchuan. There we go. So it begins, when he was a young man, Chaozhou asked Zen Master Nanchuan, "What is the true way?" This is so, I would say, archetypical of many of us who sought out teachers or teachings or disciplines, methods, likely covering many different areas of actual self-discovery. And the urge, the longing of kind of finding what for each of us we could say is the true way, a true way, a true way that speaks to the longing that lives inside of us. Everyone has this. Life is a mystery. It's a complete mystery. And very, very few, I would say, maybe in the history of mankind, have actually resolved that mystery, have in some way come to a clear understanding and the liberation of that. Liberation from what? Liberation from the confusion, the actual entrapment in the mystery of this life. And it is enchanting. It is completely enchanting. So Chaozhou is asking, what is the true way? Meaning, how shall I proceed? How shall I find my way to this liberation I've heard of, this enlightenment? This, in some sense, immersion in the reality of my being and of the world. Because Chaozhou, although he was young, was quite talented, had a really brilliant mind. And the fact that he's actually having a conversation with Nanchuan, who had a monastery with probably 1,500 monks at the time, that he, right at the get-go, gets an audience with Nam Chuan and can ask this essential question is indicative to some degree of his talent, I would say talent. And not to say that everyone has their own talent, everyone has their own, I would say, aptitude, lucky streak, good karma, because all of us here in this retreat today have found our way to what I would say is an authentic teaching that's reliable, that we have confidence in. That is to say, we have found our own true way. And so, what is that true way? Nam Chuan said, everyday mind is the true way. Everyday mind. That could be confusing. That could be a sense of, well, my everyday mind is just chattering along all the time. That's why I'm lost. That's why I'm here asking. But Nam Chuan is unequivocal. Everyday mind, not some other mind, not some special mind, not some brilliance, not dependent on intelligence, not dependent on deep insight, but rather everyday mind. So then Chao Zhou is asking, should I then try to keep it or not? Shall I try to keep it? Probably we're all familiar with that sense of, let's say we've got some koans under our belt. Maybe we've kind of found our own way of practicing, something that works for us, a method, an approach. And we actually have a sense of, here it is, here's my path, here's the treasure that I've discovered. I can follow this, I can rely on this. And so the sense of, should I then try to keep it or not? Chao Zhou here is actually referring to keep everyday mind. How do I try and keep it? It's something, in his view, something special, something that he could actually, you might say, claim and own, everyday mind. So that grasping, that reaching for certainty, that reaching for, let it be mine, let it become mine, should I then try to keep it or not? And Nam Chuan replied, if you try to keep it, you have already made a mistake. So there's two pieces to this. If you try, and I say step out of the effortlessness of our natural way, if we try and we try to keep it, we've already made a mistake. We make it something special, something distant, something we're reaching for. Because Master Nam Chuan has said, you know, everyday mind, that's it. And Chao Zhou is, now searching for clarity. Like, how can I understand this more clearly? What does he mean, everyday mind? I have an everyday mind. Why is that the true way? How is that the true way? How do I proceed in this true way of everyday mind? So if I try to keep it, I've made a mistake. This is what Nam Chuan is saying. That mistake of, say, again, of grasping. So Chao Zhou was confused hearing this. You've already made a mistake. And so he questioned, but if I don't try, how can I ever understand the true way? Okay, if I don't try, how can I ever understand the true way? If I don't make effort, and this is interesting because Zen Master Sung San, one of his favorite teachings was, try for 10,000 years, nonstop. Only go astray, don't know. So that effort, the sense of application, of discipline, of pushing ourselves, of trying and trying in whatever way, doing our practice, doing long retreats doing, you know, many, many prostrations, bows. Some people were assigned like 3,000 bows a day. I remember when I was in Korea, there was someone who was trying to do 3,000 bows a day in down in the temple below the main center where we were at Wagesa. Exhausting. But there's something genuine in that try, something genuine in that effort, which is the, you could say, single-minded application, single-minded longing for, I must find this, I must find this. Our discipline of keeping don't know and actually willing to remain in not knowing, remain in the mystery of, you know, what are we looking for? How will I recognize it? Can I trust this? All of that is a form of effort, definitely, of trying. And Chaozhou is saying, if I don't try, how can I ever understand the true way? But he's going in a little bit off direction, because Nan Chuan then says, the true way is not dependent on understanding or not understanding. So he's saying it's not something cognitive. It's not something we can figure out. It's not something our thinking will bring us to. Thinking is not the path. Before thinking, that's the path. Before thought, don't know mind. So the true way is not dependent. It's not, doesn't rely upon understanding or not understanding. So regardless of our intelligence, our scholarly understanding of all the sutras, all of the ways that we've trained, actually, even regardless of all of the, you say, koans we have under our belt, where we've attained a koan, we've actually broken through, and okay, that's one more in my stack of koan accomplishment. It can be a little tricky to assume that we're accumulating an understanding. We're accumulating an understanding. Because Nan Chuan says the true way is not dependent on understanding. And then he says, or not understanding, which is simply blankness. Not understanding is some kind of passive willingness to remain sort of clueless. Like taking don't know mind is some form of stupidity or ignorance. And that's not don't know mind. So the true way is not dependent on understanding or not understanding. Understanding is illusion. Unequivocal. Understanding is illusion. It's taking us away from the immediacy, the reality of our true nature. And not understanding is blankness. So again, that's that sense of just remaining in sort of clueless ignorance, willing to not perceive, not have a lively curiosity, a genuine curiosity that keeps us penetrating and looking further and remaining in don't know, but not settling for, you know, our latest explanation, our latest, you could say, insight. Insight is good. And then we let it go. So we're open and spacious, available for the next insight that may come along. It's a continual journey. So understanding is illusion, not understanding is blankness. But if you completely attain the true way of not thinking, it is like space, clear and void. Attain the true way. This means not just understand the true way or in some way, practice the true way. It is attain. Attain means it's actually an experience, a deep experience, not a, again, not an understanding or not some explanation of how it really is and how to proceed. And I have this method now that shows me again and again, this enlightenment experience. No, it is the true way of not thinking, which doesn't mean the end of thought or that we're not having thoughts, but the true way of not thinking is before thinking. We say this journey is before thought. Don't know mind is before thought. So in this moment, likely, we're all of us having thoughts. I'm having thoughts. Behind thoughts, behind perception, behind all of the experience of this moment is a wakefulness, a capacity to experience, a sense of knowing, a sense of hearing, for instance, or the sensation of our body, or the visual field in front of us of form and color, that kind of knowing, that kind of encounter, that kind of direct experience in this moment. That's before thinking. We don't have to think to hear. We don't have to think to taste or to smell or to touch. All of these direct experiences. It's true, we get lost in our train of thought and go down the track of that long story so easily. And then until we notice, oh my God, you know, here I go again. And then we're back. We're back in this moment. So this very, very important key point is that completely attain the true way of not thinking or before thought. Then it's like space, clear and void. A little like everyone who sat with me has experienced the mirror. I always bring a mirror along, a round mirror. And it's so interesting. It's such a wonderful metaphor for the same thing, which is space, clear, and void. The mirror itself is simply the capacity to reflect. That's all it has. There's no content in it. There's no image in it. Nothing sticks to it. It simply reflects. In a way, it's like that wakeful mind that is just in the immediacy of experience in this moment. Just in this moment. And then again, just this moment. Just this moment. This moment, this now, is where all experience, our whole lives, has occurred, we could say. We don't have an experience other than now, direct experience. Not an understanding, a memory, a reflection, none of that. Direct experience. It can be direct experience of a memory, but it occurs now. And this is a key point, very key point. Like space, clear and void, so nothing there, and yet there, everything that we ever encounter as an experience arises. We could say it arises. It's a glimpse of the display of awareness, the display of this knowing nature, the display of before thinking, clear mirror mind. That we can catch in a glimpse. It doesn't stay very long because if we try to keep it, we've already made a mistake. It kind of comes upon us almost like an accident sometimes. But our training, our cultivation, our commitment to practicing tends to make us, we would say, accident prone, a little more accident prone, so that these glimpses, these brief moments of insight, these sort of the simplicity of just settling into the moment on occasion, because we're used to doing that, we're used to actually training in that way, then it becomes clear. It becomes clear. It's always the same. Every time we notice that, I would say, this moment of experience without thinking particularly, just being there. Every time there's a familiarity. We become familiar with the settled, you could say, already complete experience of just now. And I've been working with people today on the 10 kinds of woo sickness and all the ways that we clutter our lives with reactivity and so on, all of that. That the, we could say, the solution, the way through with that is to take one step at a time in this very moment on the, I think we'd say, the knife edge. It's an interesting con. So anyone I haven't done it with yet, I won't reveal anymore. It's a wonderful con. So again, in this final line, he says, if you completely attain the true way of not thinking, it's like space, clear and void. So, Antoine is saying, why do you make right and wrong way? Again, this is another, we could say, error on our part. This selectivity. I like this, I don't like that. This is correct, this is not correct. All of the dichotomy of our thinking. But why make right and wrong way? It's before you. It is what is occurring in this very moment, ongoingly, just this, just now. Everyday mind, that in itself is the true way. So upon hearing this, it says Chaozhou was suddenly enlightened. Suddenly enlightened. What did he get? It's good to reflect. What did he get in that moment? Having gone through this whole really beautiful inquiry with Zen Master Nanchuan. He comes to realizing all of my holding, all of my understanding, all of making right and wrong is a mistake. And there's something deeper, something closer, something more intimate that is right here, right now. And that's what he found. And that's what we can find. Any moment it appears to us, perhaps as an accident, perhaps as a glimpse, but it is the journey of our way to arrive where? Arrive here. Arrive now. Where we have always been and will always be. Just this. Just now. So thank you all for listening.